This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
New world order for life. This is the ship with Darren Smith invading Almost Entirely Sports, taking over the studio, dog. I kicked Rudy out earlier. He wanted us. I said, no, take your ass home.
Are you? So you're Hulk Hogan. So do I get to be Kevin Nash or Scott Hall?
You got to be six pack.
Oh, okay. That's a good call because I'm the short. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that
you
makes
be
sense.
Six pack, man. There's a height requirement to this, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Nash and Scott, they were taller than me.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'll play my role. Better six pack than Eric Bischoff.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Who couldn't come on the segment, by the way?
You know, or you could have been Conan. You could have been.
I'm bold, too. It's perfect.
Reba LaRasta.
Perfect. I just need to get a big hoop earring.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Hey, well, look, let me not, you know, kind of date myself. People are already trying to figure out, like, how old is he? You know, he's talking about New World Order and WWE for life.
Old enough to remember the glory days of the WWE and WCW, man. Remember that when you'd switch off on channels?
Oh, trust me, dude. Seriously, when I was in college, going to high school, but even in college, man, then I didn't put nothing above my wrestling. Like, my mama knew, don't call me. I think she made the mistake one time, I was like one of them little white kids at the grocery store. Mama, I said, Mama, don't call me. I told you don't call. Boy, I will come down there and whoop your ass. You ain't going to take you to it. By the time you get down there, the wrestling will be over. Then we have our discussion there. Man, dude, those were the days. Like Monday nights, I had Monday Night Raw, Nitro. Thursday nights was Thunder, and then SmackDown came about. But, dude, even my freshman year, girl, I was out on that. She knew she couldn't come over till afterwards, man. You know, come sneak through the window.
There are rules here, man. There are rules here.
There's levels to this.
There is levels to that.
So, be as it may, we've invaded the show tonight. But, you know, as Keyshawn Johnson talked about, bounce back year for Ezekiel Elliott, I think that's the case. We'll start with the NFC East / least on the NFC side. Look, football starts 1 week from today. Right now, at this time next week, we should be going into perhaps the second quarter, if not still the first quarter, depending on how long, you know, the pomp and circumstances are, as the Dallas Cowboys travel to Tampa Bay to take on the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In this division, we know that Dak Prescott is supposed to be back, supposed to be ready by week one. We haven't seen him at all in the preseason games. We've seen bits and pieces of him on the highlight stuff of Hard Knocks. You know, Washington, Dave, you know, they had the number two ranked defense last year led by Chase Young. They're coming back. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, Ron Rivera did not want Cam Newton, which says a lot about Cam and the fact that get your ass vaccinated. The Philadelphia Eagles, it's just, they're the Eagles. I mean, they're suffering a big cap hit because of what they, you know, having to trade Carson Wentz and getting him off the books, getting off the books next year, but getting rid of him. And then, of course, the New York Giants. Oh, my gosh, Minnesota scored a touchdown, so it's 10-7, about to be 10-7. So I need Ohio State to do something right now. But as it may, it's going to come down between, unfortunately, the Cowboys and the Washington football team. If Dak can play healthy and stay upright throughout the season and they don't suffer massive losses and injuries on the offensive line, I do think the Cowboys are good enough offensively. I do believe that defensively they've upgraded, especially throughout the draft. You know, I think those two linebackers that they got, Michael Parsons and Jabril Cox, I think even though one falls the other, I think that when they get a chance to shine, I think they will. I'm not quite sold on I've never been sold on Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb, you know, all the little highlight stuff he does in practice, let's see that translate over to the field. But as much as I hate it, and I grew up a Cowboys fan, I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win this division.
The Eagles are going to be terrible because the only highlight they had this offseason was signing a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew, who looks like Billy Ray Cyrus. You look at the Giants, their offensive line was atrocious last year, and they did not get any better there. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine. Joe Judge, I think, is losing that team in a lot of ways. They're going to be a disaster as well. The Cowboys have the best quarterback in this division, and it is not close. But the problem is that he came into this season with a horrific leg injury, and that's not the biggest injury of concern for him. We don't know how, you know, we're not going to know how his arm is going to work this season. We have no idea. They've kept this thing completely hush-hush. Their defense, although they did go and get the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, as their defensive coordinator, I don't think that's enough to make that defense respectable enough to keep them in big games. So I have a real issue trusting the Cowboys because of Mike McCarthy also being a coach that's in serious question here, that just became Jerry Jones' little pawn. That's what it is out there in Jerry world. I'm picking the Washington football team to win this division for a very specific reason. Defense is going to play a significant role in this division. They are going to dominate the line of scrimmage. Chase Young is going to be maybe the defensive player of the year. That defense is nasty. It's brutal. Ron Rivera's got the thing clicking. I think that what we saw last year, they're only going to build from that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, although is not a great quarterback, is stability at the quarterback position. Also the fact they have an awesome, I think a really good front offensive line, along with the fact they go and pick up Curtis Samuel, Adam Humphries. They go and get Antonio Gibson's a proven running back in this league. And Terry McLaurin, I think, is ready to pop and shine in this league. I think this offense is going to surprise some people this season, even though Ryan Fitzpatrick, again, not a great quarterback, is stability. And if he allows his weapons to coordinate this offense and do what they need to do, I think they're going to be better than most people expect. But I got the Washington football team winning this division.
You know what? I think I might have to change that. I might have to change over to Washington because now that I think about it, the Cowboys, man, I don't know, man.
They're the popular choice, and I get it because they have Dak Prescott and all that.
It's not a popular thing. It's just, you know, I got to be loyal to my brother, man. It's one of those things where it's just hard for me to feel. They're going to come to Kansas City. I think Michael Cohen would be in town. I might, you know, treat to some gates and stuff like that. And I got to go to Washington because the Dallas Cowboys, when you expect it, when you least expect it, they're going to turn back into one of those teams that becomes 8-8-1. They're going to be the first
team
to do
that.
NFC North. Now, this is going to be interesting, you know, season. I think the Chicago Bears defensively, I think they've always been good. One of the few teams that, when you look at it, made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years, but they still got rid of that quarterback that they drafted ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. They got rid of him. But he did come back at the back of the Buffalo, but nothing to it. I am not a big fan of them feeling like they should be benching Justin. Well, let me not say benching, but basically starting Andy Dalton ahead of Justin Fields for whatever reason. Everybody thinks that they can do this whole Andy Reid did it, you know, and I was there. I know, you know. But you ain't Andy Reid, and Andy Dalton is not Alex Smith. And, yeah, there's so many other things at play where, you know, I really hope Matt Nagy loses his job because it's just a stupidity of keeping Justin Fields on the bench when his play and everything is shown he's better than this particular quarterback in Andy Dalton. Minnesota Vikings, you know, look, we talked earlier in the last hour about quarterbacks being vaccinated. We know that Kirk Cousins isn't. I'm not a big believer in him. I know some of his teammates on the defensive side of the ball are definitely not big fans of his. I see that kind of crumbling. I can see a scenario where he gets injured and will be out for the season. Detroit Lions, I just don't like the head coach. I don't even give a damn about anything else about the Detroit Lions. Green Bay Packers, they are, of course, the elite of the bunch. It's going to come down between the Bears and the Packers. Obviously, I'm picking the Packers with the reigning MVP, Brett Favre, coming back, you know, reluctantly. It seems like they were pulling teeth, even though they were paying this man, you know, $14 million. Somehow that kept him from deciding, oh, I better come back because he didn't want to come back and play for him.
No matter how many knees Dan Campbell and his boys chew on this year, they're not going to get a lot of W's. They're not going to chew a lot of those. That's going to be a borderline, maybe the worst team in the NFC this season. I think the Vikings, despite being in 2020 one of the healthier teams in the NFL, only winning 7 games, I don't know what they did this offseason to get better. And I just feel that they're in this weird, awkward, middling situation where Mike Zimmer, you don't know how long he's going to coach, and you don't know how long they want to keep Kirk Cousins there. I know he has a fully guaranteed contract, so they're going to try to get out of that situation. But with his unvaccinated situation, I feel he's going to ultimately cost them maybe a game or two with not being able to be available, and forcing Kellen Mond to go in there and try to play in this offense. Here's the thing about the Bears. This is actually a good franchise. This is a good team. This is one of the better defenses in the league. They have a good running game, and they have a proven wide receiver in Allen Robinson. If they just had the right quarterback, hint, hint, all of a sudden this can be, I mean, you can't say they would become a playoff team because they've already been a playoff team 2 of the last 3 years. Now, granted, they didn't have a great record, but that's because they didn't have a great quarterback. You and I both agree Justin Fields is going to be special. He is going to be special in this league. And I truly believe that Matt Nagy is going to save his job by ultimately deciding, you know what? What's common sense? It was common sense. Promises aside, don't give a damn about promises. I need to have the best players on the field. I think he's going to avoid putting Justin Fields out there week one against Aaron Donald, that Rams defense. And then week two, you're going to see after Andy Dalton throws like 4 or 5 interceptions in week one, they're going to have to force that hand and having Justin Fields out there. And I think the Bears could give the Packers, who are the class of this division still, the best team in this division, they can give them a real run. They went 8-8 last year with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. You get Justin Fields out there, and all of a sudden this is a 10-plus win team. The Packers are going to come back down a little bit. I don't think they're going to be a back-to-back 13-win team. So this could be coming down to 1 to 2 games in this division against the Packers and Bears.
Well, we'd have to look at the schedule to make that determination on the Packers, because I'm not going to go against you or go for that on that particular take about their record. The issue that I have with the Bears and Matt Nagy is that, you know, the coaches are stubborn. And when it comes to the media, you know what's common sense, you know, right. But damn it, you're not going to tell me. Like, I spent all 2017, 2018 get rid of, you know, Bob Sutton. It wasn't until the obvious that you had to get rid of him. It was like, had you got rid of him in 2017 after the 18-point loss, you were already going to make that transition from Alex to Patrick. You could have done that with the defense as well. Perhaps things turned out differently. So, but be that as it may, I just don't see Matt Nagy making that move in week number 2. He's going to do it to save his job, but by that time, they'll already be, you know, under 500 when it happens. Now, granted, being under 0-1 to be under 500 as well for him to make that move. But I don't see him going away from Andy Dalton that soon. I think if he does it, you know, unless Andy somehow gets hurt, I'd say week 4, which would be the first week in October, perhaps, maybe week 5, that he makes that move. And then, you know, by that time, again, I'd have to look at the schedule to see the teams that they play. But, yeah. I mean, if there were, you know, one, he's going to play in the game. I think he's going to get some reps, but I just can't see it happening. Let's take a quick timeout. I think we need to take a break right quick. Take a quick timeout. Come back. We'll look at the other two divisions in this conference, the NFC South and the NFC West. Definitely NFC West, because there's a lot to go with off of that. And then, of course, we'll do our predictions on who's going to win the MVP, Rookie of the Year, stuff like that. This is the Invasion Show. This is a ship with Darren Smith sitting in for Almost Entirely Sports right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is the ship with Darren Smith invading Almost Entirely Sports. Told you, Josh, you know, don't get Wally pipped out tonight. I'm telling you, sitting there watching the game on the big screen and stuff. Patrick Mahomes commercial. Tired of Patrick Mahomes owning every damn thing around this damn city. As long as you don't own Gates Barbecue, I'm good. Look at this, man. We've got the NFC South. It should not be hard to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to repeat it. Well, not to repeat, but to win this division. I think the Saints won it last year without Drew Brees, but now Jameis Winston finally. Again, some stuff is just obvious, and I just hate when coaches try to insult people's intelligence by making it like it's really a competition between, you know, between these two quarterbacks, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. But, you know, it's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I guess you could say they could be improved, you know, with their rookie tight end replacing Julio Jones as their go-to guy. But I'm just not sold on them defensively. They've just never really been a good defensive team. Carolina Panthers, look, if they had gotten Deshaun Watson, anything is possible. But Sam Darnold, not convinced, not sold on him at all whatsoever. And then, of course, again, we go with the Saints and the Buccaneers. So, but as it may, they return all of their starters, all 22 starters for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've, there's nothing credibly that I could even try to think about that would say that they would not repeat or they would not win this division this time around.
The Buccaneers are 100% winning this division. I think they have as good of a chance as the Chiefs have winning the AFC West, if not a better one. Because of the fact that the rest of the division is in, you pointed out everything that's true.
Tom Brady has some good luck on his side.
He really does, and I think he's very smart. Well, let me finish this talk, this take, and then I will go to that one, Derek. Because, like you said, there are levels to this. But the Buccaneers are by far the best team in this division as a complete whole. They brought back all 22 starters. They have Bruce Arians, who's arguably the best coach in this division outside of Sean Payton, which I would probably still give him the edge. But if you look at the rest of the division, which I find more interesting because the Bucs are going to win it, what the interesting part of it all is how fun I think some of these teams are going to be in this division. Because with the Saints situation, it's going to be fun to see Jameis Winston try to get this redemption tour going, which I can say right now I'm looking forward to seeing Sean Payton do what he does with him.
It's going to be fun, but it's going to be dangerous for my wallet because I think they'll score a lot of points, but damn it, I think he's going to cost me some money with some interceptions.
And then you look at the Falcons, Arthur Smith transitioning from being the Titans OC to now being the head coach of a team with Matt Ryan, who's still a very serviceable quarterback. They got some weapons with Calvin Ridley and those guys. That's going to be a fun team to watch play offensively. But they are going, like you said, they are going to be atrocious on defense. They were 26th in the NFL last year. They did not do anything on the defensive side in the offseason to get better. They're going to be really, really bad defensively, but they're going to be fun to watch score points, which I believe they will. But then you look at the Panthers. I think this is going to be one of the more fun teams in the NFL. Now, we can make the case that they're not going to win a ton of games, but Matt Rule's style with the offensive weapons they have and Christian McCaffrey coming back from an injury, they're going to be fun. Now, their problem is they have maybe the worst offensive line in football. They were sitting there trying to praise Cam Irving as their starting left tackle, who I like to call as Interstate 75. To see him actually starting again in the league, just I worry for the quarterback that he has to protect on the left side. I feel bad for Sam Darnold. I think maybe he's just warming up the seat for Deshaun Watson. After this season progresses, he could ultimately maybe end up in Carolina. But like I said, this division's already a wrap. The Bucs are going to win this division. But this division might be one of the more fun divisions in the entire NFL to watch.
Still trying to figure out why you hate them so bad, but that's
hey, dude.
You talk bad about the Carolina Panthers in the manner which you did. They ain't done nothing to you, and so
I'm contextualizing here.
No, yeah, but man, that's a lot of there was a lot of hate in that.
I said they could be fun.
Yeah, that part is true, but Tampa Bay, look, man, they're going to have a lot of pressure. You know, of course, they want to be one of those teams that tries to go undefeated. I know Kansas City has been big on this 20-0 deal. I don't know why all of a sudden. But, you know, we look at it, and, again, Tampa Bay, you know, look, they acquired Darwin Thompson. I'm glad he got picked up by somebody. I think, you know, to give him a chance, he's going to be on their practice squad. I think it'll do him good. Look, he's going to be like Rojo. Not Ronald Jones, but Shady McCoy, you know, going from one team to the next. So, now, unlike Shady, you got two Super Bowl rings. I don't think it's going to happen with Darwin this year. But be that as it may, I like Tampa in this division. Again, like you said, Jameis, you know, I think he will be redeemed. You know, it's hard for me to believe that, one, he's not going to be in the lineup long enough to get 30 interception. So, you know, Sean Payton's not going to, you know, he's not going to go for that. But I think, you know, the fact that he's got LASIK surgery, he can see, which always astounded me because he had money, even at, you know, I mean, hell, I know he was getting paid by some boots, some at Florida State, where he could have got LASIK surgery a long time ago, and the fact that he hadn't makes me wonder what the hell was going on. Like, why didn't he have glasses, goggles, or contacts or something? The fact that he couldn't see all these years is astounding. So perhaps that might be a reason why he cuts down off of the 30 interceptions. But moving to the NFC West, this is going to be the division of divisions. Like, if ever there were an opportunity for one division to have four playoff teams, this is that division. This could potentially be that year. Now, granted, you got the round robin where these teams play each other twice. The 49ers, Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams. A lot of people are buying into the Rams because of the acquisition of
Matt Stafford
out of Detroit. You know, I mean, I think the Seahawks, I think they've improved their offense a little bit. You know, obviously you've got Russell Wilson being back, and he is still the best quarterback in that division. You got Kyler Murray. You know, look, that offense has been upgraded. I do believe A.J. Green will have a renaissance season playing the opposite of DeAndre Hopkins. I think when, you know, you got good players like that grow, great players like that, that, you know, you can feed off of one another. J.J. Watt being down in Arizona with that heat, I think that would do wonders for his body. You know, he should be good to go. If I remember watching the last preseason game, they did take him off the IR. So he should be ready to go for week number one for the Arizona Cardinals. And look, this is a shut up year for Kyler Murray and for his head coach, because, you know, this is third year, so this is a contract year for Kyler Murray. Like, you know, we saw what Josh Allen got. We got an idea what Baker as well as Lamar Jackson might get, you know, coming off of their fourth year. So if ever there was a time to get a contract extension, this is going to be that year for Kyler Murray. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform. You know, seeing him against Kansas City, I didn't like his body language. I know it's a preseason game, but the fact that you didn't want to play at all in preseason is like, bro, you see how good Kansas City looked in preseason. Like, that should be scary for teams this upcoming season. And the fact that, you know, you didn't really take any hits in training camp, and, you know, granted, he got hit a few times, thankfully, against the Chiefs. I don't like his body language, and this is the first time that something that little from a player has really rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, let me tell you about Odell. I don't care too much for him. But Kyler, just hearing that when the preseason game was on my television really turned me off against him, because you could kind of see it. You kind of see it in the way he played. I think he was 1 of 4 for 2 yards. Like, dude, go sit down somewhere. So winning this division, I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to come down between the Rams and the Seahawks. If I have to take a defense that I trust the Rams. Quarterback, though, I trust Seattle, man, and that's what makes it. You know, and you talked about the 49ers, you know, they're gonna play that same game, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. I get it. Trey Lance only played one game last year, but he's still better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy, you don't have to worry about Jimmy being benched. He's going to get hurt, so he's going to take himself out of the starting lineup, and then perhaps sky's the limit. If that team is healthy with the defense, the running backs, George Kittle, get them with that, then I could see a scenario where San Francisco wins that division. But things, to me, have to, you know, they have to come to play where they have to be healthy. Other than that, though, man, I ain't a big believer in Matthew Stafford, but we'll see what they do with it. We'll see what he does with that offense. Jalen Ramsey, as well as Aaron Donald, I think will be enough to carry this team. Push come to shove, obviously Russell Wilson will be a MVP conversation the first 6-7 weeks of the season. Then he'll have the game that he loses, and he lose 2 or 3, 4 games in a row and will fall out the conversation. I'm going to go with the LA Rams this time around.
I'm so glad you kept this division as the last one for us to cover because of this very reason. There are 4 teams in this division that not only believe they can win this division, but have an actual chance. You look across the board, you have teams fooling themselves into thinking they can actually compete for the division, and they just can't. All 4 of these teams really believe they could. But with the Cardinals, the issue I have is the fact that they have a head coach I don't believe in. I don't believe in Cliff Kingsbury. I think he got his job because of association and adjacent to Patrick Mahomes. I think he got his job because of that's he was this up-and-coming OC guy that the league wanted. I think the 49ers wanted to hire him as an offensive coordinator. The UFC wanted to hire him as an offensive coordinator. He took this job. I don't know how he got it, but he got it. And I don't think he's proven himself at all. Kyler Murray has a lot of diva to him. I'm going to agree with you on that. He's already undersized, and he's already been banged up enough in his career for me to be worried that this guy can be a leader to a playoff team and a team that can make a deep push. Also, it makes a lot of sense that these old players like A.J. Green and J.J. Watt are going to the desert because that's where older people usually go to retire. I think that's what they did. I think this is a good team, not a great team. You have DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is the best wide receiver in the game, but I don't think that's enough to get the Cardinals over the top and win a division. So I'm not picking the Cardinals. Then you look at the Rams. A team I'm very big on. I believe in Sean McVay. I'm actually one of the few people out here that stand for Stafford because he's been an underappreciated quarterback in Detroit where no one wins, where Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, two of the greatest talents in their position ever, retired at 31 years old. That doesn't happen anywhere else, okay? That place is cursed. I'm glad Stafford finally gets a chance to shine in a place where I believe he can shine. And I think this Rams team is a solidified playoff team, but I'm not so sure if they have enough to beat these next two teams I want to talk about because the Seahawks have by far the best quarterback currently in this division. Pete Carroll is a proven commodity at the NFL level. You have Jamal Adams. You have DK Metcalf, who is a budding superstar. The problem with the Seahawks is their offensive line can be shaky outside of Dwayne Brown, who's had problems in the offseason with his contract issues. This defense has a lot of holes in it outside of KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, and then obviously you have Jamal Adams. I don't know if they have enough to be a team that can consistently win throughout the season. Russell Wilson is going to win you a lot of games, but eventually it's going to catch up to this team. And you saw Russell Wilson the way he felt during this offseason, trying to get out, even though he's unofficially said, oh, go Hawks, I'm Mr. Go Hawks now. I think he was trying to get out of Seattle. He just wanted to save face because he knew that team wasn't out there to trade for him this offseason. I do believe that will change coming this offseason. I am big on the 49ers this season. Biggest reason why. One, I believe in Trey Lance. I think he's going to be the truth at quarterback this season. Everyone believes that Jimmy Garoppolo is this proven commodity at the NFL level. He's going to be 30 years old this year and has 32 career starts. Jimmy Garoppolo is in the way of greatness, and that is Trey Lance. With Kyle Shanahan, who has been a damn good play caller with unathletic quarterbacks in this league, imagine what he can do with a guy that has the talents of Deshaun Watson. I said it. Trey Lance is going to be the truth this season. They have finally a healthy roster, and the last time they had a healthy roster was 2 years ago. What did that team do with Jimmy Garoppolo, the limited quarterback that he is? They got to the Super Bowl out of this division. I am picking the 49ers to win this division because they also have the easiest schedule in the NFL. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. All three teams behind them in this division have some of the hardest schedules in the NFL. I think this team is ready. I think Trey Lance is going to show why he is going to be one of the better quarterbacks in this league for years to come. I am picking the 49ers with outright confidence to win this NFC West.
49ers, that's a good, I mean, that's a good bet. I wouldn't have, I mean, I don't really see much to disagree with that take at all. It's just one of those situations where I'm just going to go with the Rams just because, I don't know, I just don't trust the 49ers to stay healthy throughout the year. And granted, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo goes down, I do think Trey Lance, I think he will be able to finish the season upright, but he's going to have a lot of bumps as a rookie quarterback. So it's kind of hard for me to go with a rookie to lead that team, even though I did kind of say Mac Jones and them and the Patriots, they might win. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's a good take. Again, I've got the Rams, I've got the Bucks, I've got the Packers, and I think I went with Washington instead of Dallas, and I know I'm going to regret that later on, but my pocketbooks is going to feel so much better. And then, of course, in the AFC, I guess I got Buffalo, got Baltimore, I got the Titans, and I got the Chiefs. Going into the playoffs, though, what is your Super Bowl matchup?
Oh, man. So, look, this offseason, I have really tried to figure out you and I have talked about this on my show, on your show, and I continue to ask this question. I've not gotten an actual response. What team in the AFC can beat the Chiefs? What team right now, currently constructed, can take down the juggernaut that we know the Chiefs to be? And I can't get a solidified answer. Obviously, you're going to have your biased responses, people that believe in their teams. And I get that completely. But if you look at this, Patrick Mahomes versus the Bills, Browns, Ravens, and Titans in his career, playoffs included, he is, and I'll pull the numbers up right here, you know, 8-1, completing 72% of his passes, averaging 335 yards per game, 27 total touchdowns, 2 interceptions with a 121 quarterback rating against these best teams in the AFC. There is nobody in the AFC that's going to beat the Chiefs this year. They are going to get to the Super Bowl this year. Now, the NFC side is very interesting because I can see about 5 or 6 teams getting to the Super Bowl. I'm going to keep my energy straight, though, because as I said before, we talked about having a potential matchup, rematch, rather, against the Buccaneers and Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have a very good chance of having a rematch, only it's the one before that. I truly believe in this 49ers team. I think that they, with Trey Lance, a guy that people continue to say, well, he hasn't played enough. Everybody said same things very similar about Patrick Mahomes when he was coming into the league. Oh, he played in the Big 12. They didn't have a defense. He didn't win anything. And then he comes in here and sets records, has one of the 3 greatest seasons in the history of the NFL. I see a similar, not as good, a similar trajectory for Trey Lance with Kyle Shanahan, with the talent that he has on offense, with a juggernaut defense, if in fact they stay healthy. I, as it currently stands, am going to pick the Niners to represent the NFC out or in the Super Bowl this season against the Chiefs.
So I take it you're going to pick the Niners to beat the Chiefs.
That is where you're incorrect, because of the fact that this Chiefs team... Well, think about it. I mean, look at the way...
I'm just saying, because rematches generally don't go well. I mean, outside of the Dallas Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills, because, you know, kind of the way you're talking, it's starting to look like, you know, Chiefs should have won last year. But you're saying that there's no team that's going to beat them in the AFC. So what's their record going into the playoffs? I'm just kind of curious, because... Vegas has them winning 12. I can't see them losing 5 games, but what do they lose in the regular season?
Since week 10 of the 2019 season, Patrick Mahomes has only lost 2 meaningful games in the regular season. It was against the Titans when everything literally fell from under them. He had 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then against the Raiders, which if you try to replicate that game again, you couldn't do it 100 times. So that was a fluke game. You obviously had Kelechi Osemi blowing both of his knees out. The Chiefs are going to win a lot of games, and the only reason I think they lose multiple games this season is because of the fact you're always going to have your one upset, the game that we all look back and go, how in the hell did they lose that game? Like I just talked about with the Raiders in Week 5 last year. They're going to have that game. But I think that the streak against the Broncos finally ends at 12, because they're going to win the early game against them in this season, but then they're going to lose the final game of the season against the Broncos, because why? What we do each and every year here in Kansas City, they rest the starters. So I think the Chiefs are going to go 15-2 this year.
Well, that game's going to be in Denver, so.
Yeah, of course, but I still think that the Chiefs would still rest the starters regardless, and I think they're going to have the one seed locked up before Week 18, and I think they're going to have a 15-2 record this year, and it's going to be another one of those years where, like, man, they could have went for the undefeated record if they didn't have that one upset, and they didn't rest their starters in the week. I think it's going to a lot of history is going to repeat itself. The only difference is this time around, Patrick Mahomes is going to have an actual offensive line that has starting offensive linemen there, because you saw the difference between that, I believe, Week 12 game against the Buccaneers when he had Eric Fisher and how he torched that Buccaneers defense, and then they go into the Super Bowl without Eric Fisher and how different it was. He's not going to have that problem this time around.
He did it in the first quarter in that game in November. That's where Tyreek went off. Well, I think they scored like 20 first half. Second half, they didn't really do too much. They held on to the win against Tampa Bay. But be that as it may, I'm with you. I'm not with you on a Super Bowl matchup, though. But, you know, I mean, you made a compelling argument. I'm still trying to now, for the 49ers, for them to get there, they'd have to have the best record, because I can't see them winning on the road in Tampa Bay, let alone Green Bay, because of the weather there. It's a California team. Tampa, you could possibly get away with the win, but I just don't think, with all that talent, Brady leading, there's no way Brady's getting beat by a rookie in an NFC Championship type game. Just not happening.
That's only if the Buccaneers get to the NFC Championship.
You're assuming that they're not.
I'm assuming they're not. Look, Darren, I made a compelling case. I'll make another one real quick.
Yeah, it better be good.
The Buccaneers are one of the more talented teams in the league, but they're also the 4th oldest team in the NFL right now. You can't. They stayed insanely healthy last season, and everything fell their way going into the playoffs. They played a 4th-string quarterback against Washington, literally signed him in December, weeks before that game, right? And they hung tough. That was a 1-possession game.
Last I checked, Patrick Mahomes went out against the Browns, and we had a backup quarterback that won the game. I mean, there's luck involved. It's always luck involved.
I think we both would have picked Chad Henne over Tyler Henneke, is what I'm saying. Chad Henne was more of a proven commodity to come in and fill in the role for Patrick Mahomes. He's not Patrick, but the point is, him making those types of plays makes more sense than Tyler Henneke going out there and giving the Buccaneers, the inevitable Super Bowl champions, a run for their money. And also the fact there were no fans in those games either. Washington, we know those crowds bring it. It would have been a much different game if they had an actual starting quarterback and crowds. Also the fact the Saints had the lead going into late into the third quarter. Drew Brees throws two late picks, and Jared Cook fumbles the ball, giving the Bucs three additional possessions to ultimately win that game. Then against the Packers.
Go ahead. Before you go there, because you're trying to blame it on the Saints and Drew Brees throwing two or three picks, whatever, versus the Bucs defense doing what they had to do and what they needed to do to win that game. Because what they did against Drew Brees, I kind of saw that in the Super Bowl.
You saw a difference, though, between the two games that the Saints and Bucs played in the regular season, how the Saints owned them both games. The second time around, they only scored 3 points against that Saints defense. So the fact is,
but you do know it is hard to beat a team three times in a season.
100% agree. Okay. 100% agree. That's a part of it. So I'm giving the Bucs the credit in being champions. The point is, there's context to what led them to that point.
You give them credit. I mean, you give them credit for winning now, because we kind of point that out, but you ain't giving them no credit to even get to the NFC Championship game. That's a little bit of slander.
I'm
right
just
there.
Saying because of the fact this NFC is going to be a lot different this time around than it was last season.
It's going to be a lot tougher.
A lot tougher.
I grant you that.
And because of the fact that the onus is of repeating champions or getting to the Super Bowl back-to-back years is so difficult for a 44-year-old quarterback.
Hold on. The Chiefs just did that.
Right, but they have the best quarterback in the NFL, and to me, Andy Reid's the best coach in the NFL at this current time. They have a better, more complete team, and they're playing in the AFC.
Hold on. You can't say they got a better complete team when they bring all 22 starters back from a Super Bowl winning team. You can't say that they don't have a better complete team than the Bucs. They just don't, because we haven't seen what this team is going to do in the regular season. We've seen what this team did, because in the last game they had all 22 starters. So you can't say that, Lance, because that's not factually true.
Who was the better team last season going into the playoffs, the Buccaneers or the Chiefs?
The Chiefs were the better team.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So now the Chiefs improved this offseason.
Who ended the season as the best team?
Oh, the Buccaneers, again, but I'm contextualizing what led to them being the Super Bowl champions.
Right, but what I'm trying to contextualize with your contextualizing is that, again, the same credit that you're trying to give the Chiefs, you're not paying the same homage and respect to the Bucs. I mean, and
you would agree, though, Darren, that not always the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. I mean, the Giants beating the Patriots both times, the Patriots are the better team.
It doesn't have to be about a better team, but what I'm saying is that you can't credibly say Kansas City brought back 22 starters, and you know they made their way, and they were overwhelmingly convincingly make it to the Super Bowl, because they didn't. I mean, it wasn't a convincing show on their way, because they had trouble along the way. The Bucs, they just peaked at the right time. After that loss to the New Orleans Saints, they didn't lose again. Kind of like Kansas City, when they had that loss 2 years ago against the Tennessee Titans, they didn't lose again. They went on their streak. I mean, because Kansas City, they didn't become the best team until they ran off those last six wins, got it to the playoff. Same thing happened with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And winning matters. You have to pay respect and homage to winning, because they have something that these other teams don't have in that division or in that conference right now is winning. And the fact that last year they won, 2 years ago the 49ers lost. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying you got to keep that in mind, because they will have playoff experience, and they will know how to perform in a big game. And to say that a rookie is going to go down there, you know, and if you know, in your opinion, I'm still trying to figure out who they would lose to with that type of experience, knowing they know what it's going to take to win when it matters most.
The point I'm trying to make, though, because the final 2 points I wanted to make as to why the Bucs ended up winning the title, is I think we both would agree that we would have picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl regardless of what the offensive line was. But I think we both would agree that the end of that game, the result would have been a lot different had the Chiefs had a healthy offensive line. So I'm just saying that although the Bucs are the champs, and I can sit here and acknowledge that, a lot went right for them in order for that to take place. Because had those things not happened,
Kansas City in 2019, they had to come back from behind three times. You had to have some luck,
but they weren't facing teams that were injury deficient. They didn't have, like, Ryan Tannehill started the game in the AFC Championship. Deshaun Watson was healthy in the AFC Championship. They weren't facing fourth string quarterbacks.
They faced a healthy Drew Brees. They faced a healthy Patrick Mahomes, and they faced a healthy Aaron Rodgers.
But Drew Brees was at the end of his career with four broken
ribs.
He
was still healthy in that game. I mean, look. I'm sorry. Anybody would tell you, you suit up, you out there, you expect them to be 100. Nah, they got to be 100%. But you out there playing, you know.
Yeah.
You put a suit on. Otherwise, sit your ass down.
What I'm trying to say is I just don't see the same scenario playing out for the Buccaneers the way that it did, because we all would agree that the Buccaneers weren't the favorites to go into the playoffs to win the title. They weren't even the best team in the division going into the playoffs.
Well, they were my favorites. I had
sure.
I had
yeah, you did predict that. I will give you all respect in the world because you did call that. But I'm saying that going into the playoffs, a lot of people were picking the Packers, picking the Saints because of these very reasons. But these scenarios played out a certain way that they did because of the other team not capitalizing. When Tom Brady in the third quarter threw three picks against the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers scored on zero of those possessions.
But again, you're not crediting that defense for doing their job. The Packers couldn't score because the Bucs defense stepped up.
I get it, but what I'm saying, look at the 2018 AFC Championship. Had it not been for Dee Ford lining up offsides, that's a pick that ends the game that Tom Brady throws. But because Dee Ford lined up offsides, Patriots get second life, and it looks like it's credited to Brady and his greatness. But he's the one that threw the pick. It was because of the fact the Chiefs didn't do something right. That's all I'm trying to say is that when it came to the Chiefs winning the title.
The Chiefs also couldn't stop Brady on third and 10, 2-3
100% times. Agree. That's, yes, you and I will agree 100% on that. I'm just saying, though, despite that fact that you just brought up, the Chiefs still should have won that game.
I mean, you know, you could have called heads or tails. You could have called something different when the coin was flipped. But be that as it may, again, I'm still going back to this whole Tampa Bay thing. Look, man, I'm trying to help you out in this factor because I know you want to be hell-bent on being right. And like I tell Mark Gunnels, having a hot take don't mean it's the right take.
The Bucs were 1-5 against playoff teams, though, last year.
Hold on, but again, it's not what you do in the regular season. They, just like the Chiefs did in 2019, They hit their stride when it mattered most going into the postseason. And again, just because one team didn't do something, again, look, Houston had a 24-0 lead over Kansas City. But if Dan Sorensen doesn't make that block, you know, I mean, doesn't make that tackle and things don't work in the Chiefs' favor, we're not even having a discussion about the Chiefs. I mean, things happen. I mean, again, it wasn't like Patrick had a great game until Sorensen had that block that, you know, kept him from going up with 31 or whatever the situation was. I know it was fourth down or whatever, but it was 24. I think take it back. They were going for a fake.
Yeah.
And so that's what that was. But I want to argue that, but I don't want to belabor the point, but you're wrong as it relates to Tampa Bay not getting to the NFC Championship game. Man, what's wrong with you?
We shall see, Darren. Well, we shall see.
We'll see. Well, look, we'll take a quick timeout. Come back. We're going to close out this hour doing our predictions as it relates to these awards. You're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith, subbing in for Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports, the Invasion Show with the Ship, where Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810, WHB 810, WHB.com. Darren Smith with you live in studio. Beards on the ones and twos. And of course, we have Lance Tridwell, host of the Spoken Podcast, with us in studio. You know, I was listening to the last commercial, and I love my guy Chad, but I'm also going to say, I lost 75 pounds in a matter of 2.5 months. And, you know, if you want to, be like me, contact my personal trainer, Arian Smith, 816-572-2715. He ain't going to like me giving his number out, but just tell him I referred you. But be that as it may, we only got a few minutes left in the segment before we're joined by Saran Petro in the next hour. Lance, who's your MVP for this upcoming season?
This is one of the easier ones. Last year, you and I was on your show as a guest. You asked me the same question. I picked Russell Wilson. I did. I picked Russell Wilson. I was tempted to stick with Patrick Mahomes, but I picked Russell Wilson.
Extremely wrong.
I was extremely wrong. I'm going to be extremely right this time because I got to do what I didn't do last year, even though I would have been wrong anyway, but I still need to go with the best player in the NFL who's currently number one at the NFL Top 100. Patrick Mahomes is going to put up another illustrious season. Statistically, the Chiefs are going to reflect on that win and loss record-wise. Patrick Mahomes is going to win his second MVP in 3 years. Or 4 years, I'm sorry.
I think the 17th game will help. I think those numbers, whatever he does, is going to be dependent on this offensive line. If this offensive line keeps him upright, and look, Patrick has yet to play a full NFL season, so he also has to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I will second that emotion on Patrick winning the MVP. I think a dark horse is going to be Tom Brady because, again, winning matters, and I think it's going to come down between he and Tom Brady. And look, if Aaron Rodgers plays pissed off like he did last year, now you got a three leg race. So I think any of those three players could do it. I will go with Patrick, but Patrick is going. Thing with Patrick, Patrick has. He's been a front runner, the last 2 years. Of course, and Lamar Jackson, once he had the 5-touchdown game, he kind of separated himself from everybody in 2019. Last year, it was he and Aaron Rodgers and went down to the wire and then, sitting down and stuff or whatever. Didn't work. So I'm going to go with you on that. Defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year is one of the tougher ones that I had this season because of the fact there's so many guys worthy of it. But to me, because of the fact that I'm so big on Washington this season, the only reason I'm big on them is because of Chase Young. I think Chase Young is going to have a great season this year. I know Myles Garrett's the easy pick, TJ Watt, those guys. But I think that Chase Young is going to establish himself as an elite defender this season if he hasn't already. So I'm going to pick him as defensive player of the year.
You can say it's a safe pick, but I still think that Aaron Donald is going to be the one because – If they can win that division, trust me, that's going to be a tough division. If the Rams can pull it out, I think he gets the defensive player of the year because of the competition within that division. So if they do that, I see him winning it. A dark horse, I would say, I'd say someone from Tampa Bay's team, maybe Shaq Barrett, but I could see Myles Garrett. If Cleveland has a good record, maybe 13-4, something like that, and he has some sacks, I could see that taking place. Coach of the year.
I wanted to pick Andy Reid because I think the Chiefs are going to have the best record in the AFC. But the more I think about it, I think the redemption story of the Niners going from being a Super Bowl contender to a non-playoff team with all the injuries and coming back, I think Kyle Shanahan's going to win it.
If they make the playoffs, I think the New England Patriots. I'd like to see. I think Bill Belichick here because of what he didn't have last year. And then you do it with a rookie quarterback, I could see him doing it. Last deal, rookie of the year.
If I got the Niners in the Super Bowl, I'm going to say that Trey Lance wins Rookie of the Year.
Trey Lance would have to have an early start. I think Mac Jones would have a little bit of a head start. Of course, statistically, you could be looking at Trevor Lawrence. Lance, let people know where they can find you at on social media.
At Lance the Spoken on Twitter, and our Facebook group is The Spoken on Facebook.
All right. So, look, that's about to do it for this second hour. When we come back, I will be joined by the one and only host of the program, Brother Saran Petro. You can find him on Twitter at Saran Petro. Of course, look, make sure you tune in on my weekly show, on my daily show, ESPN Kansas City, Darren Sterling, 3 o'clock p.m., ESPN Kansas City, 1510, 94.5 FM. Lance, thank you so very much. We'll see you again real soon. And, prediction next Thursday, Tampa Bay and Dallas. Who you got?
Bucks big.
Oh, so now you want to be on the Bucks. Bitch, who you got next Thursday?
I mean, does Dallas have a quarterback?
Do we know?
Right.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. smart man. Well, look, all right, we'll take a quick timeout. You are listening to The Ship here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, filling in, invading Almost Entirely Sports. We'll be right back after this timeout.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.